now glorified in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat. I told you something is happening here. And the things that have transpired here tonight, they are the beginning of things that will blow your mind. The church is the headquarter of gifting. It's the headquarter of talent. The major bulk of the unbeliever musicians that you see, the major bulk, majority of them, including Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley, who was the king of rock, started playing the guitar in the Assemblies of God Church at the age of 11. Veered from there and went very, very far. At a point, he was singing both gospel. Can I have the other? He was singing both gospel and secular. Long story made short, I think he literally died, battled with drugs, and died. First time I heard Elvis Presley's voice, he had a quality that Paparazzi of classical music calls crying on the pitch. Very deep, very emotional. I say, wow, how can this person be lost to the enemy? Can you imagine that voice taking over to the other side?
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment.
I can just go on and on and on. Very deep baritone, emotional. But he veered. What is the name of that woman? Whitney Houston and her daughter. Drug. You can go on and on and on. But we are a generation that will tell the devil, no more, no more. About 2 years or 3 years ago, a girl from this church won the Miss Nigeria Award. I'm sure you remember that. She maintained her purity, maintained her dignity. She had never known a man before that contest, and she remained like that. I think the mother is even here right now as I speak. And we monitor her through the 1 year of her face in that place. And tonight, this award thing you saw is just the tip of the iceberg. The person that, I can speak for the music category for now, until we're able to do something about the other ones. For the music category, the person who wins for this particular season and any other that will be coming up with a short time, we are going to make available the Intimacy Studios free of charge. We are not going to force anybody and push anybody to struggle to bring out the music. But if it is available, they will know that recording is free, production is free, mixing is free. He won't need to crack his head. That's number one. Number two, we will facilitate the production of the music video. Number three, we will, and of course, as the videos are produced according to standards of our television program, we will play them free of charge on Dunamis Television and play them on every other platform we have. Dunamis Television is blanketing the whole of Europe on what we call the Sky Network. It's on Galaxy in America. It's on some satellites in Asia, some in Australia, and some in South America. In this season now, it's on DSTV, it's on GoTV. We saw that channel on Wednesday. It's on TSTV, and then on the free-to-air decoder. So we are making all of that available. If we catch anybody with talent, if we catch anybody with gifting, to hell with the devil. The days when people are saying, I am stranded, I have this gifting and this talent, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to go forward with it, those days are over forever. And not just in this competition. The other night at the vigil, a lady testified. We've been hearing Okokolo Mago, and we didn't know that she said she released that song since 2010. And nobody heard of the song. It hasn't seen the light of the earth, except maybe within our cycles. She's going to be back for the next night vigil. And we are going to do everything possible for that thing to run. So it's not limited to whether you won an award here. Provided there is grace on your life, and God has helped you with certain things in one area or the other, the devil is in trouble. Two Sundays ago, the last Wednesday preaching, I showed you how I was wearing a yellow suit that had a belt and then a shoe. All of that was manufactured in Nigeria. All of that, including the shoe, all of that. If I walked into a shop and they say I should pay 120,000 for that shoe or 150, it's payable. Alright? The guy who manufactured this in church, it's not just in church, it's a youth. It's not just a youth, he's here now. Alright? And I said, we are going to do a talent, not just the show now, but the fair. We are going to open the Lord's Garden, a garden park, one of these days, and everybody will present what they do. We'll announce it to the church and pull people from the city. Come and see what God's people are doing. Then people will know what you do. They will know the work of your hands. And then, like the Jew, our resources will circulate among ourselves and multiply among ourselves. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Look at your neighbor, say, great things are ahead. Take your seat. And before I preach tonight, one of our daughters here, 10 years, Stephanie Ogechukwuoni Siruka, she's 10 years old. She is a gymnast. She is a gold medalist from South Africa at the African level competition of the Olympic in Pretoria, South Africa, junior level category. And she, parent, everyone, is in this church, and is a baby in this church, 10 years old. And her coach is also here, the coach, Anthony, right? Thank you. And so, Stephanie, come forward and show the people what you can do. Now, she has been featured on BBC. and interviewed British Broadcasting Corporation on what she does. She's a gold medalist gymnast from your church. Anthony, God bless you. Powerful. The world will soon hear of you. That amen is still paralyzed. The world will hear of you. Gold is waiting for you. In Nigeria, gold is waiting for you. From around the world, gold is waiting for you.
Thank you very much, Daddy, for this great opportunity. Good evening, everyone. Yeah, my name is Coach Anthony Asukwo. And Papa, I want to say thank you very much, Daddy. Thank you very much, Mama, for this opportunity. Yeah, we're going to do it on the floor. And here we have a gold medalist all the way from South Africa, Pretoria. Please, can we put our hands together for her one more time? Stephanie won a gold medal when she was only 8 years old. And then we trained at the national stadium here. And I must tell you, when we were going for the competition, there was a whole lot of challenges. Let me shock everybody. Our daddy here prayed for me before the...
That's right.
Before the competition. He didn't know me. We're just going to the church. I was dizzy. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. Yeah. And on a fateful Friday, he saw me. And then he was just looking at me. And then he said, come. Then I went there with all the drugs I was having. Then I
said, bag of drugs. Bag of drugs.
Yeah. I showed it to Papa. I said, for 3 years, I've been taking these drugs. And ever since I was elected as the technical director of the federation, that was where it all started, in the federation. So Daddy did something. He carried an anointed oil and poured it on my head, and he said, go and flourish. It is done. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a whole lot of problems before we traveled. We couldn't get flight. At the end of the day, we got flight to Lagos, from Lagos to Pretoria. So, Stephanie here is one of the best we have in Nigeria right now. And she's going to show you what she has. Here's the gold medal.
Give the Lord a clap of hand again for that gold medal. More medals are coming.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Please, what Stephanie is about to try, don't try it.
Okay, now let's start with the flexibility. Then let's go for full handstand and all this.
Zoom in.
Now go a cartwheel from the beginner's level. Cartwheel to hold, then go a front walk over. Okay, then walk down this way. 1, 2, 3, kick front walk over, cartwheel, the back walk over to lunge. And then come, now show a back talk to myself.
You need to zoom in more.
Another back to the shot. Okay, now let's go for a full answer.
Are you watching?
Yeah.
Hey. Hey.
Now she's going to go on floor because of the tie here. I'm going. A round or two back and spring to lay out.
Do you need this here?
Yeah. Now let's go. Now, Prophet Stephanie, so you're going to do a step out all the way. The cat will step out. Let's go. I must tell you, she's already in the junior Olympic level. With a box of assault, lock it. And then come down. Stephanie, show me a full handstand.
Give the Lord a praise. Mighty God, Coach Anthony. Stephanie's parents, are you okay?
Sir, can I make a comment?
The music playing just now is also produced by Stephanie's father.
Can I music?
Yes, go ahead.
So, Stephanie's father is a producer who produces for senior pastor and for us. And he was working and his wife and children came to visit. And we were in the studio. And the daughter did a flip. I said, "What is that?" And they laughed, the father and the mother laughed. Ah, she does all those kind of things all the time. She's very flexible. I said, don't joke with this. Get her trained. Check National Stadium. Find out where you can train her. Cut a long story short, it wasn't up to a year. And she was ready to go for the Olympics in South Africa. And look at what has... Let's know that there's potential in us, and that potential shall be maximized. And like Daddy said, you shall get your goal.
How many of you believe that God shall usher you to the level where your world shall hear you? Go ahead. Father, thank you for Coach Anthony Asuku and baby Stephanie. Lay your hands upon her. Cause your purpose to be fulfilled in her life. All through her career in Olympics and gymnastics, there shall be no disaster. There shall be no negativity. There shall be no negative incidents. You are preserved and you go to the highest level globally. In the name of Jesus, so shall it be. In Jesus' precious name. Coach Anthony, the Lord gives you to raise more people. And cause you to be an arrow in the hands of God. And that affliction that left you will never return. In Jesus' precious name. How many of you have enjoyed this night so far? Lift your hands and give him the praise. Are you okay, sir? Okay, she wants to snap with me. Let's agree. Oh, there is something she said, number one, she wants to snap with me. And number two, there is a technique she hasn't done and she's telling him, I haven't done that one.
Okay. Now let's
see. Is it here? Not slippery? It can be done here.
Area. Another one. Thank you very much.
Please don't try it. We don't need any emergency, please. We are not looking for any form of prayer. Don't try it at all. There is flexibility cell in her body. And your own is different. For some of you, your bone is already fixed. He's too fixed to move like that. Bless you, Stephanie. Okay, let's laugh. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big clap. Take your seat 1 minute. Debbie. Lift up your right hand.
I want to leave. Oh Lord, just right where you are. I want to stay. Oh Lord, in your dwelling place.
Lead me away from things that keep me from you. Separate me from the things, Lord, that hinder me. I want to live, Lord, in the world of your glory. I want to live, Lord, in the place where you are. To stay away from the pressures and cares of this life. To stay away, Lord, from the way of the world.
to lead me away.
It's also a night of release. Lift your hands and ask God. Everything He has been saying to you, let Him put a seal on it. Do something powerful tonight.
Lay your hands on me. Lay your hands on me. Lay your hands on me. Oh Lord, I need.
Fulfilling Destiny Part 2. We looked at the forces of vision. We looked at urgency, diligence, discipline, and excellence. we shall be looking at association. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17. It said, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Association defines destination. Association defines destination. Company affects outcome. Summary is, the quality of your company determines the quality of your destiny. Ron said in the morning that there are situations where a child would have church friends and then school friends, because probably the parents forced them on some church activities. Disaster. The quality of your company determines the quality of your destiny. Show me your friends, and I show you your future. If you can identify 7 of the most important people who speak into your life, you are face to face with your future. Your network, N-E-T-W-O-R-K, your network affects your net worth. It affects your net worth. Was that the overflow? If you can show me your network, I can predict your net worth. Who you follow determines what follows you. Who you company with determines what accompanies you. You have not done anything about your future until you have done something about your friends. So please be careful. Friendship is not by force. Friendship is by choice. Don't let anybody force themselves on you, and don't force yourself on anybody. Am I communicating? Love is a command. We were commanded to love everybody, but relationship is a choice. Love is a command, relationship, friendship is a choice. We were commanded to love, but never commanded to befriend. So, love liberally, but relate selectively. Love liberally. Love everybody, but select your friends. Don't hate everybody. Love everybody, but select who you call friend, because it determines your future. There are people in prison today because of who they called friend. Somebody smoked for the first time because of a friend. Somebody drank alcohol for the first time because of a friend. Somebody kept herself pure as a virgin, man or woman, until a friend said, "Are you sure you are in this world? Is it this Nigeria you are thinking that you are going to be pure like that? Virgin Mary, go ahead." Do you know what happened some time ago? Young lady met a doctor that I think to be a demonic doctor. Who told her, "How can you be a young girl at this age and still call yourself a virgin? If you don't sleep with men, it will cause you sickness." Which is a demonic theory. There is nothing like that. It is not medically proven nowhere that a man or a woman needs to have relationship with men or women. It's demonic. Some say, "But I'm a man and my body is producing the male seed. What do I do with it?" God takes care of it until you are married. And this girl handed herself over to a man. Something like, "I'm still a virgin." And they said, "If I'm still a virgin, I'll be sick." And that first attempt to sleep with a man injected her with HIV. First attempt. I see her till today. You saw her the last time. She's married now. HIV married to a husband, no child. It's just like that. Am I communicating? Anyone who has your ears has your life. Take your sin. And your friends most times have your ears. They speak into your ears. And as they speak into your ears, they are speaking into your life. Concerning Samson, who gave his ear to Delilah. The Bible said, Delilah pressed him with his word. I think Judges chapter 16, maybe around verse 18, 19, 20. She continued to put pressure on Samson with her words. And the Bible says, he was vexed unto death. Go back to verse 16 thereabout. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. So the word spoke life out of him. It spoke life out of him and spoke death into him. That was why I said, anyone who has your ears has your life. It spoke life out of him and spoke death. She spoke until his soul was approaching death. This is my principle in life. It is better to walk alone than to walk with the wrong friend. Take your seat. It is better to walk alone. It's better to be said that you don't have a friend than that you have friends that are destroying and distracting and misdirecting your destiny. It is better to walk alone than to walk with the wrong friend. Am I communicating at all? The pressure for friends is so much these days. In our time, it wasn't like that. I don't even know how. I can't remember any time where I struggled by all means. I must have a friend. I must have this friend or that friend. Never had. Just be careful who you call your friend. I remember in our days in the school, one of his friends in those, he had a relationship, and I was about graduating now, or I've graduated, I can't remember now, and I was in a courtship. "Oh, do you at least hold yourself at times, you and your somebody?" I said, "No." He said, "Oh, we. It's free, there's nothing." Now, it wasn't, because now, it is not, the question is not holding like this now. The question is, by the time you start like this, it will continue like that. And then you continue to improve. And you just continue to improve on previous. You start from where you stopped yesterday. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. You just have. I mean, you are used to. You have already mastered the last level. It's a progression. It's a continuum. It just continues until the terrible inevitable. And I told him, I said, nothing like that. That guy, that relationship in the first place did not work. And I don't even want to tell the rest of the story. Because the rest of the story is not correct. Doesn't sound good. And these days I'm very, very careful when I say things from ancient times. Because everybody is watching our television. Everybody is watching. So I'm very, very careful now when I speak and I just realize that yes, you'll be watching, yeah. So I have to respect that. Am I communicating? But you can just listen to one counsel and take a step that you can regret for life. You can just listen to one counsel and take a step or make a move that you regret the rest of your life. And the marriage must be honorable in all, the bed undefiled. If you are in a relationship, the day you mess up in that relationship is the day you have agreed that it should not work. And there is no need to be in a hurry to sleep with the person you will be living with forever until at least Jesus comes. Eh? Why the rush? In our place, you say you want to marry for bachelor in 10 days time. You say, why not today? And he has been a bachelor all this while. Just calm down. Hurry slowly. On the day of your wedding, if you like, you can carry the girl on your head. After you have wedded, lift her on your head. And then be on the run. They say, why are you going to say, I have been fasting all this while? They say, what of reception? No need. Let the people go and eat at the reception. Take your seat. After you have been licensed on that day. But before that day, apply caution. Apply wisdom. Apply discretion. So that is the place of association. We can actually spend the whole day on this matter of association. Because many people have been ruined. Pastors who just got to meet the wrong kind of pastor. I wish this was a pastor's conference. And then all of a sudden they are hearing and some ideas that are not right. This is what I do. Wouldn't you do that? Before you know it, you are ruined. I'm sorry to say, but I once met a pastor who said to me, the whole title of the church belongs to himself. Yes. That is, every single thing belongs to himself. He will tithe. He can now tithe to the church from what the whole church gave. The whole tithe is for him. This guy will go straight from church, straight to supermarket with money, straight. I mean, it's not a matter of church, straight. That is, it hasn't even been counted yet, straight to supermarket. And when I saw things like that and heard things like that, I said, for where? I didn't step into ministry to look for money. I'm a medical practitioner. I can practice medicine. and give my money to. I didn't step. I can't defend that before God. It's not a practice that is to be dared or to even be retort over. And you can, your guess is as good as mine. On your marks, get set, run. You quit the climate of such communication, such association, such contact for your life. For your life permanently. So you can find the wrong association anywhere. In business, in ministry, on campus, in politics. Anywhere you can find it, anywhere. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. So that is association. Number 7 is mentoring. Mentoring is a force for destiny. Mentoring, the place of mentoring now is the place of superior association. Not superior in the terms of somebody is better than you, but on a higher level than you. Mentoring. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When they perceived the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled because they had been with Jesus. Many times it is important to know that who you look at affects what you look like. The person that is your mentor, your pastor, your inspiration, or whoever is ahead of you mentoring you is someone you are looking at, and who you look at in terms of inspiration affects what you will eventually look like. We all beholding as in a face, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are transformed, changed into the same image. We are looking at it and we begin to look like it. We look at it until we look like it. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Judges 7:17, we read it yesterday. Look on me. It shall come to pass. Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come into the outside of the camp, it shall be as I do. So shall you do likewise. This is very, very important. We have a generation today that they don't have any respect for mentoring. They don't have any respect for fathering. So it's a generation of spiritual vagabonds. It's a spiritual vagabondage. Spiritual bastardism. When the devil sees them, he doesn't see a mantle behind them. Whereas when Elisha stood in the front of Jordan, he said, "Where is the Lord God of my father?" And he hit that Jordan, and Jordan responded. The mantle behind you determines the battle you can confront. Take your seat. I am so excited to hear Ron all the way in America talking about his spiritual father who mentored him and fathered him for 40 solid years. 40! Miles Monroe. No wonder the solidity of his utterance. Heavy the weight of his voice, the soundness and depth of information, and the stability of his marriage of 36 years. If you ever knew Miles, he was always with his wife. They actually were together till death. Do you understand what I'm talking about? What do you want to prove that you... I once saw a man boasting that nobody ever laid hands on him. No, nobody. That is, I am too big. I carry an anointing that nobody can lay hand on. That man is nowhere to be found, though. It's nowhere. He has disappeared from the radar. He disappeared from the radar. Somebody called me the other day. He has a crusade and he invited a guest minister. And I looked at the handbill and he's an evangelist, but he invited a guest. So I said, this guest minister on your handbill, who is the spiritual father? He said, I don't know. I said, what? You don't know? So what kind of risk are you taking? To surrender your life to diverse influences is to surrender your destiny to confusion. Diverse influences. Am I communicating at all? I am telling you, be clear. And the matter of spiritual fatherhood and mentoring, you don't choose your father. How many of you determined who gave birth to you in the physical? As it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. All truths, according to Maurice Cerullo, are parallel. The way you don't choose your earthly father, you don't choose your spiritual father. It was chosen for you. Your spiritual father is the one that carries your spiritual DNA.
Yes, sir. Hey.
It's the one that is in custody of your spiritual fire. It's the one in whose voice you hear God's voice.
Yes. Yes.
It's the one that caused the potential in you to jump. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It is not a matter of that person or this person is anointed or not anointed. The question is, who carries my spiritual DNA? Who carries my fire? In whose voice do I hear God's voice? Whose face does God use to speak to me? Who makes my potential to jump? When Elizabeth heard the voice of Mary, he said, at the sound of your salutation, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Your mentor is the one that makes your baby to leap. Take your seat. I am not regretting the fact that I am stupid enough to surrender my head to spiritual authority. Somebody said, he's learning more from our life than even the preaching. I said, why do you say so? He said, the other day he saw me at the groundbreaking ceremony of the next sanctuary that the Winners Chapel is about to build. He saw me at the groundbreaking. He said, I just stood so unassuming. That is, you are standing as if you don't even know anything. Meanwhile, we just came from a Makurdi crusade with crowd like bees from a Port Harcourt crusade. I wish they had the clips here. From a Akure crusade. And then you just came and just stood beside your spiritual father to let him know, I am together with you in this. And we are happy with you. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir. Everything God wants you to push out, push it out. We wish you well. Because as we wish you well, we are wishing ourselves well. We see in you what we are to see in life. And we know what to do as we see what you do. What we call possibilities, what do you call reality? And what transforms our possibility to your reality is our connectivity. Do you understand what I'm saying now? What to you is a possibility is already with your father a reality. What will move you from possibility to reality is connectivity. Huh? What is his current position is your future destination. Where you are planning to go is where he is. So your connection shifts you from your position to his destination. Am I communicating? Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Never be too proud or too arrogant to admit that you have a father. I was telling my wife the other day, I see many of us around. God's servant Papa Yedeko, I was there. God's servant Pastor David Ibiomi was there. Several others were there. Many people that are doing very, very mega things all over the world, coming under the man and saying, "You are our father." And I said to her, the reason why he is giving birth to such giant children is because he's a giant. And you cannot follow the steps of a giant and take dwarf steps. I say that again. You can't follow the steps of a giant and take dwarf steps. You can't. And no matter how hard an elephant tries, it can't bet an antelope. It can't bet an antelope. But I told him, I said, that our father in the Lord, if you catch him 100 times, he will tell you who laid hands on him. If today, tomorrow, how Papa Adeboye laid hands on him, he will tell the story until you are tired of hearing. How Kenneth Copeland prophesied into his life. How Archbishop Idahosa did this for him. How Papa Adeboye said this to him. All he would, 1,000. The other day he told us, say, every single year he still goes for hands to be laid on him. As big as he is. I say, because he's not ashamed to declare that people are impacting him. So God is giving him people that are massive enough being impacted from him. I don't know about you, but there are so many people from their mouth you have never heard who laid hands on them. Am I communicating? Around you, you will never hear by mistake. Inside the preaching, by any mistake, who laid hand on them? They can lay hands on you, but nobody lay hands on them. They just happened. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. No matter how big you become in life, please always remain small in your own eyes. That is the secret of your future. Never become too big to submit. If you become too big to submit, you have become too small to lead. You didn't hear what I just said. Whenever you become too big to submit, you have become too small to lead. You are going to be great. There are many of you here, billionaires. Many of you in ministry. Great impact. Many of you in the music realm and in various realms of life. But I want to say to you, never become too big to submit so that you are not too small to lead. Am I communicating? Take your seat. Wanted to buy some buses some time ago. And we spoke with our father in the Lord. And he said, don't touch those buses. To transport people to church. And I was wondering, but they have buses. Why did he say, I wish you don't buy? And it's the kind of buses they had that wanted to buy. He said, don't touch those buses. And he didn't explain. That's the worst place where followership. He didn't explain. Don't touch the buses. I said, yes, sir. Much later, I got to know why we were not to touch those buses. It was going to cost us terribly to sustain them at the appropriate time. We have got buses and more are coming. Effortlessly, cheaply. We got over 40, almost 50 at once. Very soon it will be 100. Very soon it will be 200. Better quality than the first one we're daring. Better in every way. Am I communicating? Write this down and I go to the next point. You can never play your role at your best without a role model. This is verbatim from Bishop David Oyedepo. You never play your role at your best without a role model. Modeling the role for you in ministry, in industry, in music, in one realm or the other. You never play your role at your best without a role model. Very, very important. You don't worship them. You only honor them. You only regard them. You only reverence the grace of God upon their lives. This is very, very important. That is mentoring. Number 8 is the opposite of mentoring. It is called discipleship. We've been hearing that and hearing that and hearing that from Dr. Ron Luce. Discipleship. That is, in order to fulfill your destiny, you must impact your world. Listen to this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 28, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. The way I want to see that is replace yourself on the earth. Continuously replace yourself on the earth. That is, not that you have died. Because when Elijah was alive, he had Elisha, he still had the sons of the prophet. Replace yourself continuously on the earth. Justify your existence by replacing yourself on the earth. Somebody touched you, touch somebody. Somebody spoke to you, speak to somebody. Somebody is influencing your life, influence somebody. It's an abomination to receive without giving. It's an abomination of existence to receive without giving. The law of life is receiving and giving, or giving and receiving. We received oxygen. We released carbon dioxide. We received food. We released manure. We released carbon dioxide. The plants took the carbon dioxide, used it to manufacture carbohydrates in the process of photosynthesis. That is how life is. The day you take in oxygen and you refuse to give out carbon dioxide, that day death has set in. The day you are eating without releasing, that day death has set in. There is something called the Dead Sea in Israel area. They call the place the Dead Sea. Around Israel, between Israel and Jordan area. That Dead Sea is called Dead Sea. Very, very salty. It receives no water. And it releases no water. Nothing comes into it and nothing goes out of it. So inside the Dead Sea, you can't catch no fish. Nothing lives inside. It has no capacity to sustain life. Because it is not receiving nothing. It is not releasing anything. Am I communicating? Life is not dynamic until it is impactful. Take your seat, note it down. The dynamism of life is the impact on others. Let me say this to you. It might annoy you, but that is the truth. If nobody is learning nothing from you, nobody is taking steps after your steps, nobody is asking you questions on how to live, your life is wasting. Wow. And if it annoys you, wake up. If it, just wake up. At least there should be one person in the whole world who watches you. And he says, please, I have observed you for a while. I see the serenity of your life. I see the calmness of God around you. I see the glory all around you. I see your life is without pressure. I see purity. I see character. I see a climate of God. Please tell me something. How can I be like you? When I was in the medical school in 500 level, I was the president of the Christian National Conference of Christian Medical and Dental Students. I passed those guys through more like a Bible school. It was a ruggedization. They will be in one place for 3 days, no movement. You can go and just drink water and come. Go to the toilet and come. It was 8 hours in tongues, non-stop. Are you following what I'm saying? It was an inoculation. Today, some are professors in America. Some are... The other day, one met me in the office who is a plastic surgeon. And they are everywhere around the world. And he told me the fire hasn't died. One is the current president of the association nationally. He said, we want you to come.
You pray until and your stomach is paining you.
I mean, you pray until your anterior abdomen, you feel it.
You feel it.
You know, and then he said, that fire you put in us on campus days, please, we need it as doctors now. I said, I'll be coming. Primitive apostolic fire. Primitive apostolic fire. We will do executive meeting for 19 hours. 18 hours out of that is spiritual. 1 hour is discussion of business, of conference venue and so on. And in those days, when we are praying, one young man will stand beside me. Was my classmate. He got repented from the other religion, a Muslim. So I would just see him standing permanently beside me. So I asked him one day, I said, what are you doing? He said, I am just observing how you are praying. He said, I want to pray like that. He would just stand beside me. And he just stood there. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm just watching you. I'm watching. I just want to do what you are doing. He caught fire. He's a pastor today. From the other religion, specialist in his field, then stepped into pastoring. Am I communicating at all? If not one person, in those days, you know what I do? I will meditate on scripture until I am aflame. I will pray until I am ablaze. And you see, when fire is concentrated, it can destroy the carrier. So I had to look for where to distribute. So I will just come to somebody's room. I will just share. I just saw this in the scripture. This and that. This is what the Bible said. Bam! When he's doing kaka 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 babara, I move to another place. I will go to another room, and then, brother, please open the scripture. Let's look at this. By the time I bam, move to another place. In those days, young men will come to my room. And I said, what is it? He said, I just came to catch the atmosphere. He said, there is a climate here. There is an atmosphere, a presence here. I came to catch it. Thank God that presence is in church. It's in our services. That presence has been there since. Please don't waste your life. If nobody came for you, go for them. Take your seat. He told us in the morning to look for our Joshuas. If they don't come for you, go for them. Just look at a young man potential. Just call. I have some things to share with you. I just have some things. I want us to share some things together. And then you begin to share. Now, this was what happened to me. The physiology laboratory, I will go behind the physiology laboratory. I will pray between 1 hour to 3 hours in the morning before going to class at 8 a.m. And by the time we are on break by 12, I'm under pressure again to pray more. So I'll go behind the laboratory. And I then met a young man who was also praying quietly. And I decided, that was in my second year medical school. Then I saw him and I began to share scripture with him. He was blown away. He said, "Who are you? Where are you?" I said, "Brother here, second 200 level." He said, "I am the president of the Christian Medical and Dental students on this campus. Can you come and share with the whole house what you are sharing with me?" That was what took me to the fellowship. And I came and I preached. In a moment, the whole place erupted. People were dropping under the anointing. It's not today, oh. Whole house under power. Yes, they say, "Who is this guest minister?" My wife was there in that meeting with thick Coca-Cola bottle size eyeglasses. All caught fire. I am not saying that. Now, that one didn't come to me to ask me to learn. I went to him. He's a consultant general practitioner in Australia now, doing massive things for God, both practicing and in mission work. Still on fire till today. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? On fire for God till today, till tomorrow. If they don't come for you, go to them. You have a creative mandate, a creation mandate to disciple your world. There is a mandate on you by creation to continuously replace yourself on the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That's right. As he spake, the spirit fell upon them that heard him. So it is very, very normal. You have a mandate by creation to disciple your generation, to touch lives, to change lives, to chase out devils from the lives of those who are possessed of them. Take your seat. My first convert, as I rededicated my life to Christ, was one to God in the same year I dedicated my life to Christ, in the year of 1986. That is like 36 years ago. After I rededicated myself and I was on fire for God, I looked for my classmate. We were in class together in secondary school, in high school. Bad guys. Those are the very bad guys. We were middle level rough guy, but he was bad. I don't think I ever saw him smile in secondary school. Those are the guys that will teach you smoking, all manner. I looked for him. I said, "I've given my life to Christ. I want you to give your life to Christ." By the time I finished with him, he was on his knees. I led him to Christ. 36 years ago, he went to missionary work in Western Africa. Lived among rurals, rode on donkey, rode on camel to preach in rural areas. That the primitive fire entered him. My very first convert is a missionary till today. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Please, if they don't come for you, go for them. Go for your old classmate. Go for your old family friend. Somebody you grew up with. Go for as many as you can. Go for that lukewarm brother or friend. And what are you doing? Share with them. Let me say to you what you are doing. Sit down. Let me say to you exactly as it's in my mind. What are you doing with them? multiply your experience with God into their lives. Multiply your experience with God. That is all that it is. The things we have seen, the things we have heard, the things we have handled, we declare to you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. What has God done in your life? Share it. What do you believe relationship with God is worth? Share it. What are your aspirations in God? Share it. What are your experiences with God? Share it. What are the things you have heard God done with others? Share them. What have you done to reach where you are? Share it. Just take others along with yourself in your journey with God. Don't journey alone. When you travel alone, you may travel fast, maybe. But when you travel with others, you travel far, far. Time and eternity. The principles you have learned, multiply it. Let somebody that is becoming the way you are with God be coming after you. And listen to this. Responsibility brings accountability. When people are learning from you, it keeps you in front. It just keeps you moving. It keeps you going. When somebody's spiritual life is tied to your own, it can keep you sensible. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Their spiritual lives are tied to yours. They like we said, they know what to do as they see what you do. Please, don't take this point lightly. They said, success without successor is failure. Are you saved? Who has become saved because of you? Are you on fire? Who caught fire from your fire? Are you spiritual? Who became spiritual from your spirituality? I thank my God that by His mercy, I have such people worldwide who are on fire because they came into contact with the little fire God gave us globally. Black, white, all colors. And you start from where you are with a heart. As you are receiving, you are releasing. As you are being mentored, you are mentoring. This is not about starting a church or starting a ministry. This is about releasing as you receive. This is about duplication and replication of the grace of God, of the oil of God, and of the anointing of God upon your life. And I want somebody to promise God tonight that between now and the next time we are going to be meeting, there will be several people who can thank God that you have an experience with God. If you believe, there will be such people. Say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. Say the loudest, amen. I saw a passage some time ago and I want to look for it now. And it will do something to you on this matter of discipleship. Don't forget, if you didn't learn anything tonight, let it be clear to you that if nobody is learning anything from you, nobody is asking you any question, and nobody is taking steps after your steps, in all likelihood, you are living a wasted life. Impactless life. Will you forget that? Take your seat. Look at this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 7. Don't forget this passage. For the earth which drinketh in, God made man from the dust of the earth. That earth that drinketh rain that comes often upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meet for them by whom it is dressed, it receives blessing from God. Stop there. He said that earth that in exchange for the rain it is receiving is bringing herbs for those who prepared it, that the earth, not man, the earth receives blessing. I want you to see how God is thinking. That God says, I can bless a non-living thing who releases as it receives. You don't understand that? The earth, not a man, not a cow, earth. Because it received rain and produced fruit, he said, I bless it. Receiving and releasing is the secret of the blessing. Let it be permanently clear. There are people begging God to bless them every day. God is saying, you have been receiving teaching without producing fruit. What blessing are you asking for? You go to church all the time, you dance, you jump, you scream, you do everything. And there is not one human being that is traceable to your salvation. And you are saying, God bless me. To bless you to do what? Bless you to use the blessing to achieve what? If God can take it serious with the earth, how much more man? Are you ready for the second part? Look at the next verse. It gets serious. But that one, even though it receives rain, the only thing it brings is thorns and briars. That earth is near to be cursed. And the earth of end of it is fire. He is receiving the rain, is releasing no result. He said the curse is near it. And the fire is his outcome. Take your seat. Why don't we now use the aimless chat, internet chat now, to lead somebody to Christ? Why don't we use the aimless Facebook and all those chat things now and use it to change a life? You shall not be cursed. Your life shall not be cursed. This is discipleship. You want to reach where God want you to reach, you must raise people. And listen to this. When you raise people, the people raise you. I'm telling you. People are raised by the people they raise. You don't ever go down raising people. And the people you impact today fight the battles of your destiny. Ask Abraham. This would be a whole topic, and our time is literally up. And so, discipleship. Number 9, force of destiny is spirituality. Spirituality. Just not to take too much time, because even the things I have already preached has already made you deeply spiritual. But take note, the buoyancy of your spirituality affects the vibrancy of your destiny. If your spiritual life is buoyant, your destiny will be vibrant. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel went and prayed as at other times. Your spirituality undergirds your destiny. And your spiritual roots affect your physical fruit. Prayer, fasting, worship, study of the word. Let nothing take their place in your life. Your priorities determine your prosperity in destiny. What you put first determines the position you find in life. And you can't place God first and come last in life. Please, never allow any business on earth to cause you to lose your passion for God. Never allow any business. Never allow any position. Never allow any wealth. Sister, will you sit down? Sister with the red cap and green dress. I'm through in a few minutes. Don't leave when your destiny is about to be settled. Spiritual life. If anything must suffer, every other thing can suffer, but not your spiritual life, not your prayer life, not your study of the word. You can be too busy for anything, but not for prayer. Am I communicating? The most important things of your life, you are never busy for them, are you? Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you were too busy to bath? For 3 days, you have not had the time yet. When was the last time you were too busy to brush? For the last 5 days, you haven't brushed yet. Can you yourself survive yourself? You yourself survive yourself. You are too busy to go to the toilet. You are pressed. But you are holding it till tomorrow. Abba. Too busy, 5 days you have not eaten. Not that you are fasting. Seafood. I have an appointment. If you cannot be too busy for physical things, how much less spiritual things? You can't be. If it is important to you, you will find time for it. Take your seat. If it is important to you, you will find the time for it. I am praying today that nobody will ever come to the point where you are saying you are too busy to pray. And finally, force number 10 is the force of integrity or character. Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Somebody say aloud, amen. Amen. You must make up your mind. Listen. The strength of character is what determines the strength of destiny. You know, character is in strengths. There are people with strong character. There are others with weak character. The strength of character determines the strength of destiny. Nobody can have a weak character with a strong destiny, and vice versa. I'd like to say this. Thought is the starting point of character. So, what is that? Thought. Your thinking is the starting point of character. It's the starting point. That is why he said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If whatever is his thought becomes his character. Am I communicating? So until you watch your thought, you are not interested in your character. Hello? Take your seat. This is how it works. Thought established leads to action. Thoughts established leads to action. When you think about anything for a while, you act it. If you think for a while about a woman or a man, after a while, you will pursue them. You think about alcoholism for a while, or stealing for, you know, thieves calculate in the daytime how they will rob in the nighttime. Thoughts established becomes action, lead to action. Action sustained forms habit. When thought is established, it leads to action. When action is sustained, repeated action, you do it over and over and over, it becomes your habit. You watch that bad movie on your phone tonight, and then tomorrow, and then 3 days later, and then you continue it, and then you are hooked. Thoughts establish lead to action. Action sustained lead to habit. Habit perpetuated establishes character. When the habit is perpetual, it has become your character. Habits perpetuated lead to character. And character confirmed defines destiny. When this is the confirmed character of a man, this man is a thief. This man is a gambler. This man is a womanizer. This girl is a manizer. Whenever character is concretized, destiny has been defined. So if you want to handle your destiny, where do you start from? Your thought. What do you do to discipline your thought? The word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall think over it day and night, so you can observe to do according to what is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. I beseech you therefore, that was Joshua 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the living God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is by the word. So you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Somebody say amen. Did you learn anything just now? Please put that character equation from action again. Action. Thought established with what? Lead to action. Action sustained lead to what? Habits perpetuated will establish what? And character confirmed what does what? It defines destiny. Let me just show two things. How many of you know the difference between the eagle and the vulture? They are all of the same family. The eagle, the vulture, the kite, the hawk, the raven, they have the same family. But the eagle is their king. Look at him there. Show us the vulture. Every day, anytime you dreamt of an eagle, it is a visitation. To dream of vulture is nightmare. Take your seat. We had a poem in secondary school. The vulture eats between its meals, and that is the reason why. His neck is long. Head is bald. The neck is long. Very terrible description. You know the reason why? The vulture eats corruption. There, anywhere dead and dirty and smelly things are, there you find the vulture. The more smelly for the vulture, the better. The aroma, the fragrance that can kill attracts the vulture. He eats everything with the maggot. And that eating of corruption led to the degeneration of his destiny. Head is bald, neck is long, feather easily pluckable, very, very ugly looking, reproachable, highly tolerated. You don't want it around you. You want stones to chase it away. And it doesn't fly to any level. The eagle, on the other hand, flies 10,000 feet above sea level, carries weights that are 3 times its size. The eagle is married to one mate for life. And he doesn't eat anything that is corrupt. Actually, the eagle is a hunter. He goes for fresh kill. Kills his... And any country where there is eagle, please be careful. Because there are eagles that can pick human beings. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 It will fly all the way. And it has its claws that it can use. It has its capacity to lock. He will just put it and lock themselves and then take off. And then the animal will go with it to the highest 10,000 feet above sea level. If he doesn't want to struggle with the meat there and he perceives that the meat is still alive, he will remove his leg and the thing will crash from that height, bam, to the ground. Head injury, internal bleeding. Then he will return back and pick it. That is the only one I don't easily enjoy because it's very brutal. It will just drop the mountain goat from there. Just drop, bam! And there is nothing the eagle hates like serpent. If he sees a mighty snake crawling like that, he will rush for it. Clamp the head, roll it around his leg, and take it to the mountain and start eating it from the head. There is no level of serpent that he fears. He eats it. Say, they that wait on the Lord, they are like eagles. And the serpent is the devil. That is who you are to the devil. Hey! Stand up on your feet with a shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. If you borrow me 10 minutes, even though I don't, this Bible says, thou shalt not borrow. But, and I don't know when I will pay it. But just give me a grant. A grant. Because I want something to drop on you today. So you see the character of the eagle versus the vulture. Whether you are going to be an eagle in life or a vulture is a matter of character. You hear what I just said? Whether you will have the destiny of an eagle or the destiny of a vulture is a matter of character. I want you to make up your mind. And then, you know of the lion, fresh meat, and the pig. The pig is like the vulture. In fact, I think they at times they even struggle for food in the same territory. Look at it. It can lie down inside that mud there and just be singing, maybe worshiping. That's right. Just that smelly place there. That is where he's enjoying. He doesn't have any, according to him, he doesn't have any problem in this world. He has no concern under heaven. Not knowing that is a reproach. The lion, fresh food. That is why the lion is the king of the jungle and the eagle is the king of the birds. It's a matter of character. You may not be perfect today. See that guy. Any day you meet it, his eyes are red. Hallelujah. It's a new day for you. You may not be perfect, but be sincere. Be open to God and ask Him to help you out of any situation that is putting a question mark on your character. And it's a new day tonight. We are going to just have 10 solid minutes. We use the next 3 minutes to lift up our voice and say, Father, thank you for your word to me tonight. Thank you for your word to me tonight. God, for what you have received tonight. What a word, what a download, what an impact we have received tonight of God's word from God's servant. Lift up your voices, appreciate God tonight. Father, we thank you, we give you praise for what we have received. Father, we thank you, Lord, we give you praise. Be thou exalted, O God.
thank you for your word tonight.
Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
I saw one or two people moving up from the gallery. Don't do that. Don't come to the edge of the Jordan. And don't cross over. Everything we have been saying from Monday till now is climaxing now. Don't shift. Don't let the devil do you such injustice. Anywhere you are going tonight, our officers will ensure that you get there. Buses are available. Anywhere you are going tonight, they will assure you get there. So don't do yourself such injustice. Those who are, that's right, help are there. Those who already went outside there, you are hearing me, return back and receive what is meant for you. And let no boss open his doors now. Within another 5 minutes, 4 minutes of prayer, another 5 minutes of impartation, we are through. Lift your voice. Go ahead. Go ahead, speak to me. In the name of Jesus Christ, Elijah told Elisha, he said, if thou can see me when I am being taken off, the few minutes we have tonight are defining minutes. Something is about to drop. You are going to pray tonight. Father, the mantle upon this commission, the mantle upon your servant, Lord, I connect to it tonight.
Yes, sir.
The apostolic mantle, that generational influencing mantle, tonight I connect to it. Lift up your right hand, clap to me. Father, I connect tonight to the mantle upon the Dunamis Commission. I connect to the mantle upon my father, your servant, Dr. Pastor Paul Enenche. Oh God, I don't want to live here without that mantle tonight. Let it drop now. Lift up your voice and pray. Years ago, he said that my father means I see you, I see you. Elijah didn't want to drop the mantle, but the passion, the desperation of Elijah pulled down the mantle. You're going to ask, Lord, the sensitivity I need tonight, I connect with it. The sensitivity not to go empty handed, not to return the way I came. Lord, I connect to it now. Lift up your right hand, pray to me, Father. I connect to the sensitivity. I need to connect with the mantle now. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice. Let's go, 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 let's go sons of prophet, of the prophet, saw Elisha on his return. They said the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. Oh God, as I live here tonight, let the world see something that I've connected. Lift up your right hand, clap to me, Father. I ask, as I leave this conference, let the spirit of the commission, let the mantle of the commission be evident in my life, be evident in my destiny. In the name of Jesus, pray out. When Elisha got to the Jordan, he smote the Jordan with the mantle that fell from Elijah. Are we together tonight? And the Bible says, and the Jordan parted hither and hither. As it parted for Elijah, it parted for Elisha. Father, as I live here tonight, let this mantle answer for me the way it has been answering for this commission. Let them lift up your right hand after me, Father. I ask tonight, as I step out of this meeting, let the mantle speak for me, and it speaks for your servant. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and pray.
Upon me, Lord. Lay your hands. Lay your hands on me. Oh, Lord. And I'll waste my life again and again on you, on you. There is profit in being wasted long on you, on you. What a good way, what a good way. On you, on you, on you. What a good way,
what a good way to be
with
you.
On you,
on you.
I'll waste my life, I'll waste my life.
Impartation, decrees of release, decrees of destiny. While that is happening, if you are here tonight and you need to rededicate yourself to God or surrender for the first time, just come forward, join some guys already in the front here. Say, look, I don't want to just receive anything like that on top of previous lifestyle that is not right with God. I want to rededicate myself or surrender my life for the first time. Quickly carry your Bibles and bags and join them in the front.
On you, on you, on you, on you.
It's your heart. If some are coming from the gallery, quickly, quickly step forward and join me.
We declare tonight in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. We declare today that the Lord will grant you the grace to discover your potentials and to develop those potentials and deploy those potentials and everything that you need in order to become a person of destiny, a person that shall fulfill your destiny. We declare today that it be released upon you in the name of Jesus. You shall not miss the vision of God for your life. In the name of Jesus, we declare, move with vision, operate with vision from God, not from man, not from your parents, not from people around you, not from the internet, not from social media. Move with the vision of God for your life in the name of Jesus. We declare the grace for urgency, for speed in life. We declare the grace for discipline. We declare the grace for diligence. We declare the grace to be excellent in all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over the spirit of mediocrity tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare tonight every wrong association that has followed you, anybody you are in company with that is deteriorating your life and your destiny, we sever that relationship tonight. We sever that relationship tonight. In the name of Jesus, we ask for the grace to stay under pastoral cover. In the name of Jesus, we declare the grace to live lives of purity, of integrity, of decency. In the name of Jesus, the blessing of God go with you. The grace of God upon our lives and in this commission go with you. In the name of Jesus, raise your Joshuas. Raise your Joshuas. In the name of Jesus.
Lift your hands up. Dr. Ron has one further download just to wrap up. But for those who are in need of movement because of flight, you can feel free. You can feel free. But we'll have a brief 2-hour session at the most, like 9 o'clock in the morning to 11. Tomorrow. He also has like 50 books that contains the things he's teaching. and is going to give it out free of charge. Yes, it's not selling. This is a different kind of operation. It's not selling them. And I might say this is very, very strange, because some people come to your platform and all they are struggling to do is what they can sell. You know, and so that will be available for as many as will be. So as many as are able to do that, we'd like to do that meeting at the youth chapel at the Glory Dome. The youth chapel at the Glory Dome by 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. And we'll trust God that God will help us. The youth chapel at the Lord's Garden, rather. Lift up your two hands.
Lay your hands upon me, Lord. Lay your hands. Lay your hands. Oh Lord, I need your hands.
Those of you in the front here, say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I come forward, I go forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken of your life. Help from above is released upon you. And I call it done in Jesus' name. Counselors, you will talk with them shortly. But lift your two hands. Father, let your hand touch these hands. And by the time they bring these hands on themselves, let the fire fall. Listen to this. Lift your hands high. The fire for the sustenance of vision be released upon you. The fire of urgency that will destroy every trace of sluggishness and procrastination be released upon you tonight. The fire of doggedness and diligence that will destroy every trace of laziness in your life be released on you tonight. That's right, it's already falling. The fire of discipline that will take away every trace of compromise and indiscipline be released upon you tonight. The fire of excellence, I take authority over the spirit of mediocrity. I arrest you. I destroy your hold in the lives of the people. The fire of excellence be released on you tonight. Fire to operate wisdom in relationship, in your associations. That fire is released upon you right now. The fire of wisdom to surrender to mentoral influence is released upon you. Fire for discipleship. Fire to touch lives. Fire to change destinies. Fire to reach out to souls. Fire to reap the harvest to hope to God. Fire to mentor the next generation. Fire to disciple your Joshua is released upon you now. Fire for spiritual intensity, vibrancy and buoyancy is released upon you now. The fire of integrity that will destroy every trace of iniquity, every trace of compromise, be released upon you now. Lift your hands. Listen to this prayer. Lift your hands up. Father, every deposit of yours upon this altar and upon this your servant that is needed by anyone here. That's right. Any deposit of help, divine help, grace, ability, enablement that is needed by anyone. Every trace of help, every trace of grace, every trace of enablement that you have put in this your servant that is needed by anybody here. Let there be a mysterious transfer. Like you took on the spirit that was upon Moses and put on the 70 elders.
of Israel. Father, take that a portion. Take a measure and give to somebody. Yes, yes, yes. A measure of help. A measure of help. A measure of grace. That's help. Help here. A measure of help. A measure of grace. A measure of enablement. The measure of vision. The measure of discipline. The measure of diligence. The measure of spirituality. The measure in character. In association, in mentoring. In excellence, in urgency.
Let it be drop. And now you are going to receive it. Lift your hands. At the count of seven, you place your hand on your head and scream at the top of your voice, I receive.
Now when you finish praying here tonight, I'd like you to continue all the way on your way to the house. Just keep praying. And before you sleep tonight, pray at least 1 hour in tongues. And everyone who has come from distant places, Jehovah brought you here safely. You return back safely.
Like I said, next year is too far. Because of that, you will watch out for the next meeting this year. Lift your hands high.
I receive. A second touch be released. A second touch be released. A second touch be released. Whatever you are trusting the Lord for to receive from this conference is released upon you now. In the name of Jesus, are you ready? At the count of seven, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
I receive. He left the
For the outpouring. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Congratulations. Give the Lord a big clap offering if you can. Congratulations.